Yes, thank you very much for the reading of three episodes in the life of John the Baptist. So I have three questions for you. What word would you use to describe how Zechariah and Elizabeth felt? That's an interesting one. It's not what I was thinking of at all, but so it's a good word. If I was to describe Zechariah and Elizabeth, I would probably go for the word integrity as to how they felt, how they lived their lives. And you're wondering, why would you choose that? That's a bad word. I've got a good definition of integrity. Some people think C.S. Lewis came up with this definition. He didn't. In fact, there is a blog on the internet devoted to debunking quotes that weren't said by C.S. Lewis. But one good definition I've found is that integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. And sometimes it's way too easy for us to get caught up in thinking, well, I'm a good person, and if I do all these good things, then God will have to reward me. It's only fair. Now, of course, in children's ministry a few months ago, we did actually look at the life of God. So we know all about the sort of things that happen. But we do have it, so we might have been not only looking that way. So, here's something else to think about. That Zechariah and Elizabeth were prophets. And one of the things to think about is that if John the Baptist had been born, it wouldn't have changed the way they acted. They would have still kept on serving God. Right into the end. Obviously, we would know the story. But that's what integrity is all about. God doesn't reward us for being good by giving us nice things. God rewards us, He gives us nice things because He wants to. God gives us nice things because He wants us to go out of ourselves. One Bible verse that I think kept on going back to when Kevin put the sermon is this. One of Jesus' parables, when the Master says to him, you have been faithful with small things. Now I'm going to give you bigger things to look at. That's what integrity is all about. That Zechariah and Elizabeth, they weren't rewarded for being good. But the important thing is that their dedication under adverse circumstances proved that they weren't the people who could be trusted by God to bring that kind of matters. And so, let's go on to our second scene. And you know I'm going to ask for another word. And you know that you probably aren't going to get more headcounts. But let's see what we come up with. So, John the Baptist and Jesus, their attitude. What word would you pick? Yeah, every word in the dictionary. Here's Jesus come to be baptized by John. Here's John, he doesn't really want to baptize Jesus because he doesn't think he's worthy. What word would you go for?
This would come out of the reality.
I like your thinking, girl. But no, I'm not thinking of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Brilliant. Well done, Gwen. Yes. I was thinking of humility. And again, I've got a quote, but I'm going to misquote it because it's Christmas. And the quote is from a man called F.B. Mayer, who was an English preacher who was contemporary with the elder group, just to put things into context for both Irish and American listeners. And Mayer used to say, I used to think that gifts from God were like things going on show. So I'm going to say, well, since it's Christmas, ornaments and gifts on a Christmas tree. And the higher you reach up, the better the gifts you got. He says, no, I'm getting older. I've actually found the reverse is true. The lower you stoop, the humbler you are, the greater it is. So I'm going to throw in the next bonus question, because it's quite a lot of nice. So why did Jesus get baptized anyway? I mean, you heard the reading, well, but John's baptism, that's what people say, sorry God, I messed up and I don't want to mess up again. And yet, Jesus did nothing wrong. So why was Jesus baptized?
To affirm what John was doing.
Oh, I like that answer. I'm going to go for a different one. Jesus was baptized as a model for us. Burying our old lives and being raised to a new life. I'm going to be a little bit controversial here. There is a baptism coming up next week, isn't there?
Yeah.
Two weeks' time. So there is a baptism coming up. Baptism isn't just for babies. Some of you may be older, you may not have been baptized. If you would like to be baptized, you can have it work for you. And Vicky will organize it. In fact, we can go a couple of steps further, because when we were in Kuwait, it was far easier for us, instead of booking church hall, if you were to say to Ricky, well, actually, the wetter the better, please come on, don't down. Ricky would have to get his waders out, but it's just as much a part of the culture of the Church of England as sprinkling with water.
Both will be a big problem.
Yeah, both will be a big problem. But nevertheless, it is an option. So, also, we have a bishop coming in April, don't we? Confirmation. Again, so if you think, ooh, 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds, that's when you get confirmed. But for some of you, you might say, well, yes, I'd be interested, and I would like to make a public affirmation of what I believe and have the bishop lay hands on it. In which case, again, I don't know if we can have properties that will inspire you. Bishop of So, let's go on to number three. The third and final sin. Yeah, you guessed it. What word are we going to use to describe John the Baptist's actions? What word would you choose?
Brave.
Selfless, I like that. I'm going to go with sacrifice. But I like selfless. And again, I've got a quote. This one from a cricketer. A very famous cricketer. I think he's a very good quote. But one of the things I find interesting is that many missionaries, it wasn't just a case of, well, I've run out of different jobs I can't do, so I'll have a go at being a missionary. Not like that. Many missionaries, even today, are not people who've tried other careers and failed, but they've been extremely successful at what they've done. And then they said, but all the success matters to nothing compared to what it is to serve God. So C.P. Sterling, great cricketer of his time, said, if Jesus Christ is God and gave everything for me, then no sacrifice I can make can be too great for him. I've got another sort of rhetorical question. Have we noticed in our Bible readings, and every time John the Baptist comes up, this is the link between John the Baptist and Elijah. And you're probably thinking, why? After all, Elijah did all these miracles. John the Baptist didn't do any. Why then do we refer to him as a prophet and the spirit and the power of Elijah? I have an answer. That just like Elijah, John was given the responsibility of calling out those of authority who abused their positions of power. And John paid the ultimate price for this. He gave his life. Fortunately for many of us, we will not be put into a situation where we will be tested in the same way. But at the same time, everything has a cost. We are a church, and fancy Greek word time here. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, the people who've been called out. God has called us, and he's given us this prophetic call to say, go out and be my voice. And call people out if they are abusing authority. And yes, that means some individuals will get in trouble. For some of us, the cost is, and yes, I'm going to mention it, putting a few coins into a box in order to make some cookies. But for others, particularly people we may pay for, that cost will be far, far higher. So, three words from the life of John the Baptist. Three words for us to think about and to pray to how God would like us to become a people of integrity, humility, and sacrifice. Thank you for listening.